This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
With summer just weeks away, a new round of sunscreen brands are under review by the Therapeutic Goods Administration. This time, 21 products that may not provide the SPF protection listed on their labels. It's a story about more than just sunscreen. It raises bigger questions about how much trust we place in brands, how companies respond when that trust is shaken, and what real transparency looks like. We're joined by Bo Pang, Senior Lecturer in Marketing at Swinburne University. Bo, welcome to Drive.
Well, thanks for having me, Warren.
When we see headlines like sunscreen under review, what's the first thing, I suppose, that goes through most people's minds? Is it the fear, the frustration, or the confusion about something that we place so much trust in?
I think it's a bit of both, right? So sunscreen, as you can see, it's actually what we call a high-stake trust category, right? Consumers like us, we don't have that expert knowledge to tell what's in it, right? So everyone uses it, but only a few people can tell what's in the sunscreen lotions. So if consumers cannot easily verify its effectiveness, you don't know whether it's going to work until it's too late. I think that, you know, plays into people's mind when they see the news coming out. They will be like, not only is it confused, but also very, very scared, I will say.
One of the things when I looked at some of the products that were under review, and there's some pretty big brands in there, including some of the brands that perhaps I would assume, I mean, I certainly would trust more than perhaps some of the imported brands. So it's also including local brands, isn't it?
Well, absolutely true, yes. But what I want to hear is, right, so the big brands or small brands, not necessarily that means reliability too. So it's very, very common, right? Big brands have a huge market share, but they probably end up with some kind of product recall and will hit the headline as well, yeah.
From a marketing perspective, how damaging is that for consumer confidence? And can brands ever really recover from it if sunscreens all share a particular base formula?
So I think we should all expect greater doubts and greater skepticism, right? People will start double-checking ingredients, sourcing, or even labels for this kind of SPF tests. Maybe some third-party testing blogs, in the news, the website was actually giving all this independent test to give people a little bit more confidence in regards to what kind of product they should choose, right? I think in terms of the consumer behaviors, there's going to be a big shift on this front, right? So they're probably going to be what I would guess kind of a trade off, right? So they want to look for some kind of endorsed product from the dermatologist or from the pharmacy.
When we do that, but let's say we walk into one of the, I suppose, the big box pharmacies, for example, and, you know, there's, I don't know how many, but there's, you know, a whole shelves full of different brands of sunscreen. And, you know, you're right, not all of us are scientists or have technical backgrounds. How do we go about looking at them and saying, you know what, which brand can I trust now? How do we go about asserting that?
That's a great question. I think, Warren, that's very, very complicated, right? So like consumers like us, from the marketing perspective, we always go for the easy solution, right? So we use the product because our family use it. I use the product probably because I have used it before. I use the product because I heard of that product or I watch an online review of that, right? So this is something what we call heuristics, like a shortcut. People choose the brand just because of the different types of shortcuts they have in their mind. So for this context, just because of the thing blows up, people are now hearing this on the news, I think it's just giving them a little bit more pressure and more motivation to do a little bit more fact-checking, right? So going to the pharmacy, like you said, when they're looking at, I don't know, hundreds of different brands, probably this is a good time for them to take out their phone and do a quick search and see what brand has been verified, for example, by TGA, or has been, I would say, given the approval from the different types of third-party experts to endorse, and then they can make a decision, I would say a better informed decision on that.
The thing, Bo, that concerns me is, you know, we've come out of COVID-19 and we saw, I suppose, a level of skepticism, you know, resulting from vaccines. And maybe I'm drawing a long bow here, but sunscreen is something that we all grew up with. We trust it. We, you know, we trust the SPF rating, whether it be 30 or 50 or whatever it is. Right. We trust those things. Is this just, I suppose, you know, potentially another kick in the guts for confidence in products that do claim, make certain claims, but don't necessarily deliver them? And is it bad timing?
It is. It's definitely. I think that this is where you see, you know, all these companies start voluntarily recall their products, right? So, but I do see this is still a big issue with all these big brands because they're still doing this very, very reactively. So if it's up to me, I think it's probably a little bit more a proactive approach or transparency. They need to start acting on, like publishing test results or maybe just having multiple lab testing, instead of relying only on one. And of course, there will be a lot of improvements that can be done by TG as well, just because they only announced that after things have blown out of shape. They probably have to do a better job in terms of preventive measures, like to create some kind of safety net before things really happen to this level.
We're chatting with Bo Pang from Swinburne University about growing consumer concern over sunscreen safety and the trust we place in big brands. Just on that, let's say that some of the brands do start to show proof that their SPF rating is real and it's not just a promise. Do you think that would sway consumers?
I don't think so. I think, you know, in marketing, when the consumer's trust declines, it's always the biggest challenge for the company to restore it. It takes time, and it actually go beyond the compliance, right? So it's not only just saying, yes, we know the problem, we are going to go in and fix it, we're going to publish all this data so we can back up our claims, our labels. So this is just, we can't take their words for it anymore, right? So I think this is where all the other parties have to come in together, like TGA, like other testing labs, and even some consumer advocacy groups have to come in together to really help the consumer to pick the right product, to really see the results of the testing, to really see the effectiveness of their product in the long run, so the trust can be built gradually from there. But it's going to be a long road.
Bo, before we finish up, if we can just explain that it's not that the sunscreens don't work, because obviously we still want to be able to use sunscreens and it's important that we use them, especially as summer is approaching. It's more that the SPF labels weren't exactly precise. Is that correct?
That's correct. So I think the one they are claiming to have 50 plus in the lab test is only showing like a 21 or something. So it's like a much lower than their claimed factor, the number.
So therefore, we should probably apply it more often. Bo, good to chat with you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Lauren. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Bo Pang, Senior Lecturer in Marketing at Swinburne University. So there you go. We've got to do our research, find out which ones actually do meet their SPF rating.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.